Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor Everett Kelly is the pastor. It's going to be an awesome time. It's from 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. in the morning, 12 hours. This is the third year of the Purge 2018. We got some mighty men and women coming through to, you know, empower the atmosphere. It's going to be a relentless cycle of preaching, prayer, singing, worship, praise, preaching, prayer, singing, worship, praise for 12 hours, 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. And I know a lot of people would not be able to stay the whole time, but it's an open window of 12 hours that if you need prayer, if you need something that's going to shift you to the next level, if you need God, if you just need to come in a quiet place and just sit to yourself, if you need to come to the altar, it's a 12-hour open altar it's open. Whatever your issue is, whatever your problems is, whatever you're going through, this 12-hour window is for purging. Lord, get out of my heart what may need to get out. Lord, I've been dealing with all different type of issues. I'm hurting, I'm stressing, I'm so frustrated, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. My mind is just everywhere. Lord, bring me back together. Bring me back into your will. Get my mind right, get my heart right. You know, I've been holding grudges. I've been very bitter. And Lord, I need you to purge it out of me because I know it's blocking me and keeping me from going to the next place. So that's what this coming week is all going to be all about, man. It's going to be 12 hours. And I know some people may be listening, you may be watching, like, yo, that's a long time to be in church. But it's not a long time when you need something and you really are sincere and you're really desperate to get rid of these issues. A lot of us have been dealing with anxiety. You know, we're dealing with so much stuff, man. We're dealing with these pains that been in our heart, man. It's hard to get out. And it's like we're caught in a revolving door, a cycle. You know, I'm happy today, I'm sad tomorrow. I'm happy today, I'm mad tomorrow. I'm happy today, I'm frustrated tomorrow. I'm happy today, you know, I'm stressing tomorrow. And we're caught in these cycles. But this is the time, October the 26th, 2018, Friday night, it starts. 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. in the morning, the Purge 2018. God has blessed us. This is the third year. And no, it's not nothing that's been, you know, a major thing where there's thousands and thousands of people attending. But I guarantee you, though, those that are hungry and those that are thirsty, they be in the building. And they come there ready, man, for God to do something. To do something, Lord. I'm going to set my schedule to the side. So I may only be able to come for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. I may be able to come and do the whole time. I may be there for the whole 12 hours. But it's happening. October 26th, 15 Keswick Avenue, Ewing Township, New Jersey, is held at Pastor Everett Kelly's church, Faith Deliverance Cathedral, the Purge 2018, kicks off at 7 p.m. It's running till 7 a.m. in the morning. So you may just be getting off work at 12, 11 o'clock at night, and you just want to just come just lay on the altar. You just want to come just deal with those issues that no one knows about, and you want God to purge it out of you. Come to the Purge. Whether you're the preacher or the hearer, no one is exempt from the purge. We all need God to get something out of our hearts. We all need God to work in them areas, man, that it's so hard to deal with. Hey, yeah, man, it's all good, man. Yes, yes, that's all good. But I'm going to tell you like this, man. Whoever is watching, whoever's there, man, the purge is going to be a major, mighty move, man. A major, major, mighty move. So I just thank God, man, for this purge that's taking place. We got some preachers, some prayer warriors that's coming through, and that altar is open. You know, a lot of us, yo, we get to a place where we think our intellect has got to such a level where it goes beyond God and all of this stuff like that, man. We need to get to a place and humble ourselves and seek God and pray. I don't care what it is, how much money you got, or how much you may be in lack. We need God to purge our spirits. Get all these trauma thoughts out of our mind. Some of us are dealing with so much mental trauma. So many mental issues. We're frustrated, we're mad, we're angry, we're upset, and we can feel the weight of life pressing us down. This is what that purge is for. No one is better than no one. We're not there to put any measurement on anyone's sin, but we're there to surrender our hearts to God. Lord, here I am. Work on me. Help me. Because when it's all said and done, God, like, I want to be right. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want my emotions and feelings to keep me on a road of destruction. I don't want my feelings and emotions to be the stumbling block. I don't want my feelings and emotions to give me excuses, you know, or give me justification of where I'm at or why I do what I do. Lord, help me. Help me get rid of the things that's damaging my life. Help me disconnect from the people that's leading me in ways against your will, that's detouring my life in the opposite direction of you. Lord, I need your help like never before. And that's what this purge is for. 12 hours. And like I said before, you don't have to be here for the whole time because it's open. If you come and you leave in, hey, call a cousin, call a friend, call a neighbor, tell someone that 12 hours, there's prayer. The altar is open. And whatever your issues are, get to 15 Keswick Avenue. And I pray that the Lord, the years to come, however it is, that, you know, that the purge begins to, it moves. It goes to different places. And it's a tool that God can use to bring the body of Christ together as a whole. God bless you, Sister B. How you doing? For real, to bring us together as a whole. And that's what this purge is about, man. This purge is about coming together, praying, hearing a word from God, and allowing the different gifts of different individuals who God has poured gifts into to help whoever needs it. And let's come together without a mind of judgment, but with a mind of mercy and grace in our spirits and saying that we all need God to help us. We all need God to help us. We need God to help us. I don't care who you are. Like, you need the help of the Lord. You need God to help you with some thoughts, with some issues that you've been dealing with. And that's the important part of this whole purge 2008. Lord, I know I may have a whole bunch of degrees on my wall. I'm connected. I know a lot of people, God. I mean, I got a lot going on for me, God. But Lord, when I'm alone, when no one is around, I may know the nightmares that be haunting me, the whispers of my past that try to come up and block me from reaching my future. When I go home, I'm going into a bitter house. I'm going into a chaotic house. Lord, I need to experience what your real peace is. So whatever is inside of me, whatever I'm dealing with, whatever is, you know, keeping me from reaching God's greatest expectation for me, whatever is blocking me, am I holding on to something that I need to let go of? You know, Do I need to let go of something that I've been holding on to? All of these different things. And we all need God to dig deep into the core of our heart. Because a lot of us, man, we allow the different traumas and the different things that we've experienced, right, to get in our mind. And once things get in your mind, right, if certain things, if you don't cast it out of your mind, once things get in your heart, it's very hard to get out of it. It's very hard to get these things out of your heart. And a lot of us, we're dealing with so many heart issues. So we can sing, we can worship, we can go to church and we can function right, but we go back home with that same heart, where the heart is not being changed. We're just having moments and flashes of mental stimulation in certain atmospheres, but the heart is never changing. And that's what the purge is. Lord, purge out these parasites. Purge out these things that are destroying me, and slowly, oh man, killing me, killing my dreams, killing my future, killing my hope, destroying my faith, and saying, Lord, I just need you. So I would encourage anyone this coming Friday, whatever you got on your schedule right now, listen, if you can just fit some of your time in to make it to the purge. 2018, 15 Keswick Avenue, Ewing Township, New Jersey. This is the third year of the purge. And believe me, it'd be an awesome, awesome, powerful time. It'd be a powerful time, man. You're not restricted. There's nothing holding you back to surrender everything. There's no time restraint put on anyone. It's 12 hours. So it's open. It's 12 hours for something to take place for you and God to work it out. And we need God like never before. We need God to do some major things in our life. And I'm encouraging anyone, man, that's out there that may be listening and you're watching this right now. The Purge 2018 is coming, man. It is coming. I've been having so many different conversations with people, and people are dealing with so much. They're going through so many issues and problems and different things. Yes, yes. And you know something, Sister B, I'm going to tell you like this. It's so important that God purges, because a lot of times we'll wind up putting our feelings and our emotions ahead of what God wants for us. And God is always about building us. Building us. I heard a preacher say yesterday, he said, God never wants to destroy your enemies more than he wants to build your character. God never is more excited about destroying your enemies than he is about building your character. So whatever God allows you to go through or permits you to go through, in his mind, it's to build you. It is to build you up and prepare you for what he truly has for you. And that's what this purge is. There's some things in our lives that, yes, we have prophetic words spoken over us. We have promise over us. But there are some things we'll never get in our life. We'll never touch it and grab it if we allow these certain things to live inside of us. Because those two things can't coexist with each other. The great blessing that God has for you doesn't want to live and connect with the cursed, wicked, certain thoughts and things that we have connected to us in this life. My brother, Pastor Bones. Hey, man. Yes, man. How you doing, bro?
All right, man. Do all right, man.
Listen, man. Right out here. Yeah.
Tory.
What's going on, man? Tory? Yeah.
Man.
But that's what we're here. We're talking about the Purge 2018 before you walked in, and I'm telling them the importance of how it is so important that God, that during this time, regardless of what it is that we're dealing with,
right,
that we make up in our mind that I know there are certain things within me that can't live with my future.
Yeah. It's that whole concept of the constant dying living aspect that everybody has to go through. When you're saved, there's something in the part of your life that has to die in order for you to have life. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That lets I live in the eye of Christ that liveth in me. And life that I live now through the one who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yeah.
When you sit there, and I think the problem with us is the biggest thing that has to die with us is the pain of the past.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Because I strongly believe that it's the pain of our past that really keeps us in a slave mentality when God wants to have a son mentality.
That's right.
So it's not just the concept of getting rid of, like, just the pain from an aspect of things that were done to you. It's also getting rid of the pain from an aspect of things that you have done.
Yeah.
And may struggle and still be doing.
That's right. And there's always that war of the reminder or the flashback
right.
and the memories
right.
of the different
right.
things that
right,
we've
bro.
Done, the different
right.
deeds that we've done.
Right.
You ever be in church and you ever be praying and you're trying to get a breakthrough and all of a sudden thoughts and memories of what you've done in the past
right.
start flashing in your mind.
Right.
Whether it was perverted, lustful, all these different things. The more you try to get closer to God, the more you try to pray to God, they always try type of memory, something
right.
connected to your past. He always want to connect or try to attach a to your past to your life. But that's why it's so important to purge, because you know how certain waters that jump
right.
immediately jump in these waters, parasites will attack your body.
Yeah.
All right.
Contaminated
water. And a lot of times we've connected ourselves to so many contaminated things
mm-hmm.
and people that even when the people leave our lives, they left the residue.
It's called, yeah, man.
Almost as if they
yeah.
laid eggs, and eggs are hatching
yeah.
in
yeah.
your life.
Right.
They're no longer there, right? There's a person 2,000 miles away from you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're still mad at them and bitter, and they're controlling your life from a distance.
Like, yo, man, people have told life from the grave.
Come on, man.
They dead and gone, man. They ain't thinking about it. They dead and gone, and their fate is already still. But yet their influence, their imprint on your life have kept it like some of a fingerprint on your life. It's seen how you act, how you respond, how you treat others. You know what I'm saying? That's why forgiveness is so powerful thing, because I think that's one thing we need to be purged from, is unforgiveness.
Oh, yo, I believe that's one of the biggest...
Unforgiveness, man.
Biggest things.
Unforgiveness. And that's not just like... People say like, yo, well, I forgive you. Then it can put your emotions are still attached to that memory.
Yeah. You can tell it by the way you say it.
Man.
I forgive you,
mm-hmm.
but I ain't gonna forget it. No. And I understand all that. We remember stuff and all that. But the tone of it...
Right.
Is really not forgiveness.
And to be honest, like, yo, forgiveness and forgetting, and not necessarily that you forget the actual experience,
mm-hmm.
but the emotion that was attached to that experience is no longer there.
Because I'm not going to allow the pain of that memory to no longer be my bondage place. I'm no
yeah.
longer going to allow it to imprison me. And
yeah.
a lot of us have been imprisoned in asylums of our past. Like, we're still prisoners of what happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And the Bible says, we say we serve a God that comes to set us free. What the
right.
Bible says, who the Son has set
free,
is free indeed. Meaning there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If when God sets you free, you're free. But we have to believe in the freedom that he has set for us and that he has delivered us into. But the thing is, man, we've allowed our emotions and our feelings to become our God.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's the thing, man.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
No,
that's right there.
Yeah. It's not coming off at all.
I've been praying for that the past 2 weeks. I ain't praying fast not there.
it's not coming off at all.
Yeah.
And you know what's so deep? like even when I think about certain things right now, like in my mind, I'm going through a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? I'm dealing with pain and hurt. I'm dealing, you know, with stuff with my mom, different things. And that's a real, that's not just a spiritual pain. That's emotional.
Emotional.
But yo, you really feel
that in your
body. You feel
like,
that
like,
thing.
It's like a weight.
Yes.
That you can't, like, you can't get rid of. That,
no.
That you're, it sticks with you like, the course of every day.
Yes.
You feel it.
But,
because you feel it. Like, you like, it's almost like you could be in a room and you know how to put on that face because of the room that you're in.
Yeah.
But then, like, even while you're in that room, your mind goes to where your heart really is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're in church, you're not in church. You're at work, but you're not at work.
That's right.
Like you're with the kids and you're with the wife, but even in that moment, those who know you know that, okay, wait a minute. Yo, you don't look like something's wrong with you, man. Like, you look like you're off. Because you have that weight on you. And the biggest person, one of the biggest people you have to get rid of is that purge of anxiety, man.
What? The anxiety. Yo,
the anxiety.
Anxiety is real.
Yo, man,
I'm telling you, it is real. It is real. Like, sometimes, man, I say if I'm at work and I'm in the truck driving. And, you know, I'm a person that thinks, like, you know, my thoughts. Like, I be in my, like, when I'm in my head, it get crazy. So, one time I'm riding in the car, yo, in the truck. I had to jump out of the truck. Because, like, my thoughts of what I was dealing with was so heavy in that confined space, it was too much.
They created an
atmosphere
in that place.
In that place. And that's what
wow.
the enemy does.
Wow.
He tries to put us in a bubble, in this bubble where we begin to start suffocating with what we're dealing with. He wants us to drown. He wants us to feel like we can't breathe with this thing.
Right.
And those are things that were happening. That's why... Like, Lord, purge me from the fear that I feel when I'm facing what's opposing me.
When I'm facing what seems to be the inevitable.
Yes. Like, Lord,
because the reality is, it's happening. It's destined to happen. And I'm afraid of what I'm going to be
after it happens.
Yo.
After this.
Like, yo, man, what I'm going to be
after
this. How am I going to change after this? Like, what kind of person, am I going to be able to still maintain?
Yes.
Yo, Jay.
Yes.
Real life.
No.
Real life. God had to tell, and I've had a revelation in even some personal situations I'm going through my own life. And God, I had to repent to God about feelings I was having while yet still believing him to fix whatever I needed him to fix. Because what happened is he'll fix it, but because of the anger and the hurt and the bitterness and the resentment that can develop while he's doing that situation, that situation might change in my favor, but I'll mess it up because I'm resentful of what the situation took me through. That yo, I'll treat Peter like Judas.
Yes. Yes.
I'll treat somebody, I'll treat people that really God was trying to restore and make things right, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I would treat them according to the pain
that I'm feeling. Yeah.
But in actuality, if God allowed it to be in my life, he allowed it for a reason. So I have to circumspect my thought process and call my emotions, my feelings, and suggestions to realize, okay, I have to see this thing. Not through my lens of my feelings, but through the lens of purpose.
Yes, purpose. Well, what does God see out of this?
Right.
Like,
what
is the mind of God
right.
concerning me in this?
Right.
Like, if God sees me in this, all right? God, he sees me in this. He has me going through this.
Right.
All right? But I know when God sees me in something, he always sees the better end for me. Like, God is not looking at me in a mindset of, like, I'm trying to destroy him. I'm trying to make him self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I permit him to go through is for building purposes. It is to prepare him.
It's to release something
that's right.
in him that he did not know that was in him and let that storm came. some storms in your life comes to at least a certain level of anointing in your life that you would have never had if you didn't go through that storm.
Yes.
So I'm saying, like, right now, man, like, I'm not telling you right now, God at least is anointing me, the anointing to confront.
Yes.
Because up to this point, I'm like, I never really fought for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you want this, you got to fight for it.
You got to fight for it. Yeah.
And you can't fight the way that you would normally fight. You got to fight within the spiritual realm. You got to fight in prayer. You got to fight in fasting. You got to fight in being purged, man. You got to be purged. You got to be purged from you.
And that's the whole thing. You know, that one of the biggest confrontations that must take place is when you confront yourself.
Yeah.
You confronting you. A lot of times we point the finger outside of ourselves and blame so many other people why we're going through what we're going through, or why we're responding the way we're responding, why we're reacting the way we're reacting.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the finger really points back to you, because my thing is like this, yo. If I declare and I say that God is my Savior,
mm-hmm.
and that He is my deliverer, He's my Lord of Lords, He's my King of Kings,
right?
And I say that I have the Spirit of God, and I say that, you know, I have the characteristics of God, the fruits of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? That means my life should begin to start reflecting that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, that's where I'm at right now. All right, Lord, I know I'm going through in my mind, but one thing I'm thankful for, that I'm going through it with you. Like,
yeah, I'm going through it by myself.
And like, I'm not losing my faith by going through it. You know,
yeah,
where that's the thing. A lot of times you could go through something and it can be so hard where you can lose your faith, man. Like, you can get to a place where you get angry at God and you walk in the opposite direction. But I'm so thankful, man, that everything that I'm going through, I'm walking in His direction.
Right.
Like, I'm walking toward Him and not from Him. And even though as hard as it may be, you don't understand everything and you don't want things to be the way they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, man, I'm not allowing what I experience as a man to make me feel that God doesn't love me, that God doesn't, He's not embracing me, that He's not there with me through it all.
Right.
But I understand also that there's some things that still have to get out of me. That there's some thoughts, there's some feelings, there's some issues that must leave. There's some issues in me that I have to confront, and I have to confront with the Spirit of God. I have to confront and be honest with myself and not lie about
where
I am.
Yeah, like that, yo, that's right there, man. You said a mouthful, man, because I think one of the biggest faults of Adam was he wasn't honest with God. He never told God where he was.
Yes.
He told God, he told God why he was where he was, but he never told God about where he was. And the reality is, like, yo, we had to be honest with God and be honest with ourselves about where we are in this context of what we're going through right now. And I explain, because whenever you're purifying gold, you have to put it in heat.
In heat, man.
And that fire, and then you take off the impurities off the top of the gold.
Yes.
But then the refiner keep it in there, because you know why? He keeps it there long enough so when he looks down at the gold, he sees it as a reflection.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants to do, is He wants to keep us in the fire long enough
so He can see His reflection in us.
And say, you know what? Okay, that's perfect.
Yes.
That bar, put that away.
And that's what I was saying before you came, man. Like, just talking about, like, is our life reflecting God? Like, what's reflecting off of our lives?
Wow.
You know, like, right now, you being a pastor, you being a man of God, a husband. But at the end of the day, like, what's your reflection?
Yeah, man.
Like, are you reflecting more of what you're going through than... Are you reflecting more of what you're going through than the word you preach about?
Yo, that right there is really the real life struggle of every real preacher. That, yo, the struggle is I had to make sure that my life, I had to make sure that what I'm preaching has been effective in my life before. Now, certain things you can preach and like, boom, wow. But certain principles, certain concepts that really are life-changing, you have to make sure that it's apparent in your own life.
Yeah.
That it's apparent in your own makeup. Me and Brother Tori had a conversation the other day, and I said, he asked me a question. I told him, well, as like, yo, in so many words, right now, I'm trying to perfect those concepts that I know that in my mind is revolutionary in my own life.
Yes.
Because it's hard for me to talk to you about money and I'm broke.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to talk to you about building a successful marriage and I'm on the way to divorce court.
Yes.
It's hard for me to talk about those things about how to raise kids and my kids running rampant.
Yeah.
Because your question, first thing you're going to ask is, well, why, if you know so much, why are you not owning any businesses? Why are you not operating in the kingdom principles and kingdom concepts? Why are you not doing the things of God? You can't talk to me about being 50 white and you're scooting around.
Yeah.
That you have now changed your whole entire message. I receive it from somebody else, but I won't receive it from you.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of, when you have to be a reflection of God, like, yo, I want them not to see my title. I want them to see my Christ.
And you know something? I'm thinking about how this purge is. Every preacher that's coming to the purge, right, to preach. Right. And you're one of the preachers that's going to be ministering. You've ministered before at the purge.
Mm-hmm.
I believe from the beginning.
Yeah, the very first one.
The very first one. But at the end of the day, I know you understand that me even being the preacher mm-hmm. that's bringing the word,
right,
does not exempt me from being from the purge. You know what I'm saying?
Man, the first person to be purged is the preacher, man.
Yes.
The first place to be purged really is the pulpit.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff that we see disseminating right now into the body of Christ is really originating from contamination that's happening in the pulpit. From things that we either engage in, or things that we either condone, or things that we even co-sign with our silence. Like, yo, man, like, it's time for us now as preachers to really put ourselves back onto the altar, man.
Yeah.
We gotta put ourselves back up. Stop the posture and like, yo, man, like, I'm already arrived. No, we're not. We haven't arrived. If you arrived, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You're on this earth because there's still things that God's trying to work out in you or work out through you. So with that being said, man, like me personally, I think I was talking to one of our men, Pastor Esau, on Saturday. I said, yo, I believe this is going to be one of the best years ever. It's going to be the best year so far. Because I explained to him, I said, right now, I think everybody's on lineup out of J. I think everybody's lined up. Maybe we have lined up this year. Their lives, their experience have took them to a certain level of maturity
mm-hmm.
that we're going to get the best of them.
Yeah.
We're going to get the best of the people, the men of God, because I believe that God has an appointed time for us to meet. And purge may be the start, and I'm praying it, and I believe it's going to be the start of a revival that the body of Christ really needs. And like a really come to Jesus moment that he really needs, like, yo, to get back to the basics, get back to altar, get back to praying and fasting, get back to the basic principles that Christ said we ought to be executing in our lives each and every day if we call ourselves a disciple, man.
And you know, another thing, man, that I'm excited about the purge is a lot of times, you know, we all have our own ministries that we're loyal to, that we operate in. And that's the great thing. You know, build your church, be faithful within your ministry. But there are times, yo, a lot of times we miss out on a lot of the gifts because
we're boxed in
and we never really have opportunities. Not saying it's always on purpose, but a lot of times we don't have opportunities for the gifts to all come together. We may come together for singing. Mm-hmm. We may come together for like some, you know, big musicals or big things. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about coming together for the power of prayer in an intimate setting,
right,
that where the altar is open the whole service. Regardless where there's no altar call. From the beginning of service is altar call until the end. Like there's no It's an open time for us to surrender whatever it is. So whatever you need, when we leave there, if you don't get nothing, there's no excuse that you can say.
Because you had opportunity to come and get what you need.
There's no time limit. It's 12 hours, Pastor Boone.
Yeah.
It's 12 hours
to get it right.
Of an open altar to get it right. When I was coming up younger, man, they had the shut-ins for a whole weekend and all different type of things. But this is a 12-hour event from 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. in the morning. And there's going to be mighty word. I'm going there with an expectation. When I come out of there this year, if the Lord allows me to make it there and survive until Friday to make it to the purge, my mind is when I come, I am not coming out the same. Like, I'm telling you, I am not coming out the same.
Right.
I'm not coming out the same. And I know there's a gift in Elder Esau. There's a gift in Prophet Jaquan and Pastor Sherman Boone and Pastor Angela Gibson and many more that's not even on the trailer. Many more that are connecting to it that'll be there. And I know there's some powerful gifts that's going to be in that place. And I believe that our atmosphere is going to be so thick. It's going to be a mighty, mighty,
right.
mighty, I'm talking about a mighty movement, because listen, we have to prepare for what's coming. At the end of the day, we don't talk about it. We don't really, you don't hear it preached no more. But at the end of the day, Pastor Boone, we really have to prepare ourselves for heaven, man.
Yo.
Like, we have to prepare ourselves. We can't just think that, like, we're going to be on this earth living another 1,000 years forever.
Right, right.
Let's live to the fullest. I like nice things. I want the nice house. I want the nice car. I want to be able to do things nice for my family. But when it's all said and done, I don't want to lose my soul,
man,
for it.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want anything that's going to make me not be able to be with Christ. I done went through too much hell here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
To leave earth is to have to experience hell all over again.
Yo, it'd be a waste of time to do that, man. Since we're mates, if you had gained the whole world, lose your soul, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
That's like, right. So
off
like
this, off this one punch.
Yeah, that one punch. demonic. But yo, man, what if you gain the whole world, lose your soul, man? Like, yo, we can't lose sight of the main thing. And I think purpose, like you seek before the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things, other things should be added unto you. Like, don't take no thought of what you eat. Don't take no thought of your food. Don't take, like, yo, we have to purge ourselves of spirit of anxiety. And it's something like when you're bulimic and you eat the food, and because you want to lose the weight,
you keep throwing it up.
You keep throwing it back up. There's some things we got brought to you for eating, man.
Mm.
Right. There are some things we have become spiritually bulimic on some things, because a lot of things we're eating and digesting have been doing nothing for us spiritually.
Nothing
for us spiritually. That goes from TV, that goes from social media, that goes from Snapchat, that goes from Instagram, Twitter, that goes from what you watch, whether it be your hobby might be sports, your hobby might be by the music you listen to, like all these things, man. They've been number poison, man. Poison.
And listen, man, there's so much poison in the atmosphere right now, like, that you could just watch and you get all this stuff in your spirit. I'm just saying. Like, in my heart, man, and I'm going to say this. Seeing my mother go through what she's going through, right, whether you agree or not, I'm disappointed in myself, because I ask myself, Lord, why am I not flowing in a level where I'm touching my mother and she could be healed? This is just in my mind.
Right.
Thoughts that I'm thinking.
Right.
Like, Lord, why don't we see what your word speaks about? Like, what I'm talking about, why don't we see it? I'm not talking about every now and then, here and there. We hear stories of old Smith Wigglesworth, Kathleen Kuhlman, and all of these powerful preachers who've done major things in healing, right? But right now, and I'm not saying God is not a healer. I believe in the healing power of God. God has touched us. But I'm talking about those things that seem impossible according to logic,
mm-hmm.
according to the eyes. Why aren't we seeing those things, those miraculous, healing, powerful things?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why aren't we seeing what we've never seen? Why are we only reading about it? And not, I'm talking about seeing it. I'm talking about experiencing and seeing what it looks like to be made whole. Not just a spurt, not just a little distance. I'm talking about a real wholeness, my brother.
Yeah.
You ever ask yourself that? You ever think about those things?
For me personally, like, I never want to put on the posture of knowing everything. I always say this. The reason why the church is not operating on that level of power or that level of anointing is because we don't have the same pressure that the older saints had that pushed them to have to believe God on that level.
So things are too luxurious.
It's too convenient. It's too convenient for you. Like okay, people go to doctors now, and so it has so many advances in modern medicine that people actually go to doctors. And granted, God put doctors on earth for a reason.
Yeah.
But they give their faith over to that.
But I'm talking about when the doctor says there's nothing
else that we can do. Because guess what? We resign to it. We resign to it. And like there were some things are part of the plan of God and you can't avoid.
Yeah, I understand that.
But then there's something that could be a challenge to our faith that one, we're not ready to operate on, we're too full to operate on that level.
And I believe that's what this purge is for, too.
Yeah,
we're too full, man.
We're too full with the world. We're too full with like our own hobbies, our own agendas. We're too full with our own ambition, man. We're too full of like things that we're not emptied out enough that God can actually put himself
there's in. There's no room inside.
There's no room inside of us, God can put us up. We're too full of our problem. We're too full of our issues, we're too full of our pain, we're too full of all these things that one, God doesn't really want you to be overwhelmed with because he says in his word, cast all your cares upon him because he cares about you. Not even care about the cares per se, but because you care about it, it's now on his agenda. He wants you to cast all those things on him. We don't understand prayer. We understand prayer and it comes to prayer like, yo, Like I said in 1 John, like, we are confident in this, that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us.
That's right.
And he will answer us according to what we pray and grant what we pray. But we're not praying according to his will. We're praying according to our emotion. We're praying according to our flesh. We're not really having dialogue with God. It's more like a monologue. We go, we give our request, and God, we get moved.
Come on, God.
It's almost like a showtime in the parlor. Everybody wrote the lucky tree stump to go out there to perform. Like, nah, not like that.
I just, when I think about it, it's so true, man. I just think, you know, the church and a lot of people, you know, when you start talking about, you know, being more spiritual, people try to say, you know, oh, now you're trying to be more deep than you're trying to. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think we're deep enough.
It is deep out here. It's deep out here. It's deep out here. When you got people talking about hell don't exist, it's gotten deep.
But I'm talking about we need to go deeper
than that.
Deeper than that, to the point where, Pastor Boone, like, we're really walking in power and demonstration. Like, real power and demonstration. And I'm not saying that anyone, you know, we all have our things that we need to deal with, but we need to deal with it. We need to, like, acknowledge it and allow God to, you know, help us with these things, man. Help us with this. You know, it's so much animosity, man. Like, so much going on. And there's so much hidden stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's so much, like, behind the scenes. Camouflage issues.
Yeah,
and
man.
Things like that, man.
Yeah, man.
When we need the Spirit of God to move through, it just starts stripping.
Yeah, man.
Just start stripping and cleansing and moving, man. Mm. Wow. I'm going to tell you something, man. Pastor Boone, I don't know if you said it. I don't know if you was here when I said it. You probably was coming up. But when I was in service yesterday, Pastor Johnson, he said that he was preaching. He was saying, God never wants to rid us of our enemies more than he wants to build us. Like, God is more into building you than getting rid of your enemies.
Because sometimes they're building you. All right. Your enemies are not really your enemies. Your enemies are really an opportunity for salvation to come into somebody's life. God don't even see your enemies as your enemies. God sees your enemies as, God loves your enemies the same way he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He died for your enemies the same way he died for you.
Yeah.
So why would I want to get rid of someone around the only influence that can actually influence their life to really see me? Well, I want to get them out of the way.
Mm.
When we should be saying, God, save my enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. Save us all.
To save us, like,
have mercy on us all.
Like, God, whatever issue that has them acting that way towards me, kill them of it.
Yeah.
Because hurt people. Bully, man. Bullies are bullies for a reason. Bullies are bullies because they're getting bullied at home.
And you know what? And we got to stop picking up our salvation and putting it down.
Yeah, man.
Based on how convenient it feels for us in the moment.
Yeah, we.
You know what I mean?
Today we say, but tomorrow I might cuss you out. Like,
yeah,
nah,
you know,
man,
come
nah.
on, man. You got to make choices.
You got to be consistent with it, man.
Make choices.
You got to be consistent with it. Like, you know, you can't. Right now, I'm in a season of my life right now, bro. It's like, for real. I'm at peace with God because I realize that my deliverance is locked up in me adhering to my assignment.
Wow.
And me adhering to my assignment is locked up in how much I love him. Like, do you really love God? Like, let's really think about that. Let's put it on the table. Do you really love God at the level at which you say you love him within a religious context? Because everybody say, I love God. I really love God. I love him. But then it's like, if I love you, I'm not going to do nothing to offend you. I'm sensitive to things that may offend you because I love you. And the last thing I want to do is be an offense to you. How many times have we grieved the Holy Spirit because of things that we said or thoughts that we entertained or feelings that we act out or decisions that we have made? Like, you think God wants you broke?
Wow.
You think the Spirit of the Lord get happy because you got money in your pocket?
No,
he don't. He doesn't. He does that. It's got contrary to his will and his wish he has for you. The only reason why you are that way Because somewhere along the line, you didn't listen. You were saying, pay this.
Yeah.
Pay that.
Yeah.
Pay today.
Yeah.
While you have it.
That's right.
Pay that. Put that to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy that.
That's right.
You really need to get that right now?
Yeah. We put ourselves in these situations.
We put ourselves
man.
In these scenarios.
You know what I mean?
And then, like, it was like, or how many marriages have been broken up because we said things that we had no business saying at that moment?
Yeah.
And
because someone wants to get that last word.
And sometimes you could be right. But the Spirit say,
Yeah.
Only piece in this one.
And that's the hard part.
That's the hard part. When you know you're right.
Yeah, that's the hard
part. When you know you're right.
When
you know you're right.
That's the hard part.
When the Holy Spirit say no. Mm-mm. No, let that one go. Don't go that way. Let it ride.
Let it ride.
Because guess what? The Holy Spirit can do a work that you can't do.
That's right.
And your mouth can hinder what God is really trying to do. He may be giving a God thought to that person at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But because you come in trying to play the role of God, you mess up God's move and delay the whole thing that God is doing. I quit like that. When you ever get a baker who's baking a cake,
mm-hmm.
right? The baker's baking a cake. Or your mom's baking a cake in around the house. And you anticipate the cake because you can smell it. It smells out the house. But the one thing you can't always do is keep opening that door. Because what you do, you delay the process of that cake fully cooking.
Yes. Yes.
Because you keep opening and closing the door, taking a peek, and not trusting the baker to know when to take that cake out.
Uh-huh.
That's what God knows when to take out that situation and present it to you.
Yeah.
So stop trying to go back and check on something that God tells you, okay, I'm baking it. Let me handle it.
Yeah.
Don't go back checking on it.
No, stay out the room.
Stay out the room.
Because you may bring too much vibration in there.
That can make the cake unlevel. Yep.
Make the cake fall. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yo, the anxiety thing, man. Like, yo, we really got to get delivered from, like, letting God be God.
And see, when the enemy, when you're put in situations where anxiety kicks in, once you start panicking, the decisions you make in panic mode, you know, are the worst decisions, man. Because listen, you'll grab at anything just to stop this from happening.
And when you grab at it, you actually accelerate that thing to come into fruition.
That's right.
Because you're thinking that you're pulling the situation to you,
yes.
But you're actually pushing it away.
Pushing it away.
Like, yo, man, I learned that, man. I really learned that in this season of my life. Like, yo, sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut
and pray God
for the situation, not about the situation.
Because sometimes when God wants you to keep your mouth shut, that's when He wants you to focus on you and work on what's wrong with you.
Yeah. Because you are your biggest problem.
Because you always, when you're involved in something, a lot of times you always start comparing you to someone else. And then once you start comparing, you start looking at measurements of,
right?
You know, you start measuring this and that, and you'll put more issues on the other end than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important right now that we get purged to the point where we're no longer lying to ourselves. We're no longer in denial,
mm-hmm.
where we can say, you know what? It's me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have to put the blame on me. It's my fault. It's my fault that I allowed this, or it's my fault that I initiated this.
Yo, that was Adam's biggest problem. Because when God came to him and asked him, "Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat of?"
Mm-hmm.
Not once did Adam apologize.
Yeah,
first thing he said was, "That woman you gave me." In other words, I'm blaming the woman, and you forgive me the woman.
So let's get to the point where we, even this week, we pray in our spirits, Lord, deliver me from blaming. Deliver me from
pointing the finger.
Lord, mm-hmm. Lord, allow me to flow into the finger pointing at me. Let me point at myself. Let me look at in the mirror this week. Mm-hmm. Let me look at everything, every negative thing. Let me look at those false identities that I'm allowing to live inside of me.
Who are you really?
Who have you become? Have you forgot who you are?
Because
you've been walking in this false identity for so long, and you believe that's who you are?
And you know the problem with religion, especially in church, it glorifies the mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
we fake it till you make it.
Yeah, I was just thinking right now, like, fake till you make it. No, today I'm not faking. How about that one?
No.
Today, I'm too broken to fake this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fake this because what I'm going to do is say, okay, today, Pastor Boone is going to be Sherman Boone for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherman Boone needs God to really heal and deal with this right here.
So you mean to tell me then, what do I do when my title is blocking my deliverance?
That's why they kill man, yo.
Wow.
Yeah.
When my title is blocking my deliverance.
Right.
When my title and my position is in the way of my true salvation.
Right.
It's in the way of my breakthrough.
Right.
Because I don't want to look lower. I don't want to look weak.
Right.
So I'll hold on this title to keep a certain perception concerning me.
A persona.
But that persona is keeping me from experiencing real deliverance.
And that's why we have so many suicide attempts, so many suicide from pastors in the pulpit. Because somewhere along the line, like, they lost themselves within the job that they were doing. And they became their job. So the stress of the church and the stress of the family and the stress of trying to keep a good face when deep inside you are broken, the stress of that causes you to lose hope.
And you know, some may not agree with what I'm about to say right now. But you know, another big thing that happens, man, is when you begin to compare your anointing and your ministry and what that's putting you to someone else.
Good God,
right. And you feel as though that what someone else is walking in, like if you reach, you're a failure.
Yep.
If you don't accomplish that, like you're nobody. This one thing, I think it was T.D. Jakes, and I'm just paraphrasing through my perception of what he was saying, that you have a giraffe and you have a turtle. And each of them have their own kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
But the giraffe is not greater than the turtle and his kingdom.
Right.
The turtle is not greater than the giraffe and his kingdom. But they're great.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever level God has assigned you to, whatever dimension God has put you in, be on that level. Be, if you got the 50 members, right? Don't allow 1,000 members to make you feel like you don't anoint, you're not anointed, and you fail to finish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's destroying a lot of people. Like that's what's creating a frustration and a lot of this. And a lot of different people, man, because we begin to start comparing, become competitive,
right?
Become competitive, it's supposed to be sick.
That's a powerful thing, man. To tell you, to be honest, you can't do small great.
Oh, man.
If you're small, do small great. And then small will be big. Small. Like if you have 50 members, make sure you have 50 members. Equip 50 members. You got members, do that in your city with your 10 to 15 members.
And never prepare because listen, if God giving you the assignment, if God giving you assignment, I'm talking about the King of Kings, he's giving you an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's given another preacher an assignment. And this preacher has members.
Mm-hmm.
You have 20, right? Both assignments have come from God. So there's really no reason to compete. There's no reason to compare. There's no reason to feel less. No reason to feel you're not doing a good job or not doing something. What does the shepherd do? He'll go after one.
Yep, he'll lead after one. And God will act as he sees fit.
As he sees fit.
God in Revelation one day, he said, judge the success of a church, not by the number of the people. I judge the success of the church by the overall maturity of the people. If you have 1,000 members growing in the knowledge of God, and they're coming because they have a cotton candy like presentation, yeah, you said in the eyes of man, but God is a failure. When we have 5, 10, 15 members growing the same way they were last year.
Come on.
And they're committed, not to the church, no, not to the ministry, but to God first, and you see the change in their lives, God looks at the ministry as being a success.
Yeah.
The other one, a failure. God don't judge. That's how we judge success, man.
That's true.
God don't look. God don't judge being how we judge.
And when it comes to leaders and us, the true greatness and the true effectiveness that you'll see in a leader is not when he's present; it's in his absence.
Right.
When you're not at your church, how the ministry functions, how things flow. That shows the example, the great example of what you've poured into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I just believe right now, this is what I truly believe. I believe we've entered into a place right now where bishops, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers all need to be on the altar praying. If the oil runs from the beard,
mm-hmm.
and we never see the beard on the altar, if we never see the laboring of the example of prayer from the leaders, what do you expect everyone else to do?
Wow.
Like, what do you expect everyone else to follow? What did Paul say? Follow me
as
I follow Christ.
Right.
That means if he had a praying church following him, right?
Mm-hmm.
They seen him praying.
Yeah. Yeah. I see you praying.
I seen you praying.
And that I'm duplicating that which I have seen.
But we look at what's the definition of success. It's how many people carry my bags.
Or how big is my entourage when I come inside?
When I come inside, man. So those are just different things, man, like that you see. And I'm not throwing off, but I'm just speaking real. I'm just speaking real. Where I'm at now, Pastor Boone, and anything I say, I'll point the finger back to me in anything. But like in this season right now, bro, it's no time to sugarcoat nothing. It's no time to sugarcoat nothing. Like, people are leaving this earth without Christ in their lives. And we're around here, Hollywood. We're around here trying to be bigger and trying to do all this stuff. And people not getting saved.
Right.
People are not being delivered.
Right.
We're having church services. We're dancing. But where's the real breakthrough? And I'm not saying that it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
But deliverance has to hit the house, man.
Man, deliverance, healing,
like breakthrough, real.
All these things at this juncture is what the church needs. Because the reality is, though, Jay, is that we haven't had it for so long that this became normal.
Yeah, man.
Like it's almost like if you haven't had real, like, authentic Indian food, like you become Daniel, it's normal. But then we have a person actually who came from India and said, this is how you really go to hummus. Well, hey, this is how you really go to cook this curry goat.
Yeah.
And they cook it for you, but because your taste buds, your palate has been so used to that which is not authentic, when authentic hits you, your palate will reject it because it's not used to it.
Man, Pastor Boone, you ever remember back in the day, you ever been in service, church service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when you looked at the time, you didn't even know you was in there that long?
Wow, we just had a conversation yet the other day about preaching, like, yo, you were under someone who was really anointed to preach.
Like, you didn't even realize that it was that long. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and that's where it's like almost like you step into a eternal
time
zone or something,
right?
Man. You know, right. But like now it's like, yo, you know, let's have church for an hour. And listen, I don't want to be in church for 2, 3, 4 hours if it's not God, where there's no power. But if the power of God is there, and if I lose the make me lose the thought of time.
Yeah.
Let this thing be so more powerful where we can't even think about the time because we don't even want to leave.
We're lost in his presence.
In his presence. And that's what we got to get back to. I believe that's what we got to get back to. I think right now, you know, it's so much stuff going on where we're just constantly just looking at. We're looking at our watches, you know, we're looking at, oh my, you know, this and that.
The game is coming on.
Yeah, all this type of stuff. We're thinking about that. But that's why this purge is so important. Pastor Daniel Henderson, if you're still watching, you know the purge is happening this coming Friday, October the 23rd from 7 p.m. Yeah, October 26th, my bad. October 26th, Friday. And if you're here in the city, if you're not a, you know, preaching across the land in London or Jamaica somewhere, if you're here local and you're available, we would love to have you come through to the purge, man. You know, you're my brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would love for you to be in the building. It's going to be again at Pastor Kelly's church, 15 Keswick Avenue. So if you're available, we're there for 12 hours from 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. in the morning. So if you can find your way in the place, come on through. It's going to be a powerful time. Appreciate you last year coming through, being a part of the purge. Love to have you this year. This room for God to do the Christ to fill that house, man.
Right.
Fill that house and allow the power of God move in such a mighty way. Because, man, listen, God, we want our lives back. We want our minds back. We want God to dig into the root of the issue and begin to dig out all of this stuff, man, so we can truly embrace the presence of God and be completely whole. You know, a lot of us, we were raised in church and in the street. We've seen sides of the fence. But I'm telling you right now, where we at right now, on the other side of the fence. Come on back over, man. Climb that fence and make it back. Pressure, fight. You know the way. Come on. Come get back to God. Man. None of us are perfect. But serve a perfect God that knows how to deal with us, that knows what's wrong. Give him time if we permit him and open up our hearts and ask God to get out of what belongs because you created me. You know what belongs.
Right.
You know what you destined to be in me. Lord, if you see something in me that does not belong, get out of me. Get out of me. I may be loving the wrong person. I may have my heart to the wrong thing. Lord, help me get my heart back. Help me get my mind back. I've been distracted.
Right.
I've been detoured. Help me get back on track. Help me. I got light lag. instead of jet lag. I'm living out in time. I'm like, Lord, please bring me back into your real time. I'm going through a marriage. I'm going through all these different things. Lord, I need you. And that's the prayer. This week. The Purge 2018. It's here. It's days away. October 26th. Friday, October 26th, 7 p.m. until 7 a.m., there will be an open altar. This cycle, every hour, preaching, prayer, singing, worship, preaching, prayer, singing, worship, prayer, preaching. I mean, it's just a relentless. Pastor Boone, tell them about the Purge, man.
We're gonna bombard heaven.
Come on, man. It's going to be something.
It's going to be something magnificent. It's going to be something like something that you need. It could be a place, a time of release.
Yes.
Release. Like I think a lot of times we come to church, our worship, our deliverance time out cut off because we have a time frame.
Yes.
And everybody got to go to the next point of service, and we got to get out of here. The people are tired. No. And when you come to this place, I believe in my heart, if you come with expectation, other people with expectation, they're going to meet at the same time. They are going to cause a spiritual explosion of breakthrough power.
Yes.
I'm telling right now, like, power to live right, power to talk right, power to act right. Like, minds are going to be changed. Lives are going to be changed. Spirits are going to be renewed, going to be refreshed, because I believe that revival is coming.
That's right.
Revival is coming.
Yes, it is.
Trust me. I'm talking about real school, old school. No, I'm talking about no conference. I ain't talking about no visitation. I'm talking about a true outbreak of revival is going to come to this area. To this region, and I believe that just like if you lost that seat, they give you a flare gun,
mm-hmm.
that to shoot in the sky, that the Coast Guard can find you. Purge is gonna be a flare gun, so that God can come find us where we are.
Right,
because we're lost.
Right where you are.
Right where we are. We're lost.
With the issue, with the struggle.
Right.
Filthy, dirty, perverted, whatever it is. What I'm talking about, whatever it is, wherever you are,
right?
It the purge, the altar is a fire that can consume what needs to be consumed and refine what needs to be refined in your life.
Right.
Come out and listen. If you can't make it out, still tell somebody about what's taking place. Don't just sit there and just say, listen. If you need prayer, if you know somebody that needs prayer, that wants to be in an atmosphere where the foundation of it will be prayer, word, and worship, and where it will be an awesome time where there's no time restraints on prayer. There's no time limit on God. It's 12 hours we're giving God what he's given us.
That we're giving back to him.
That we're giving back to him.
And 12 is a powerful number. 12 is a power, is a number of governmental order. So 12 is also a number of discipline, because that's how I mean Sabbath had 12 Sabbath. Like, this 12 hours are going to be an hour where we're going to really get order in our lives.
That's right.
Right now, our lives are in spiritual chaos. Because we have so many things going on. We have so many things trying to get our attention. We have so many things trying to drag us back into what God had delivered us from. And we had to be in this position where God can reorder and reorganize and restructure our lives to fit the purpose and destiny he created us for. You had to be there.
That's right.
You had to be at the Purge. You had to. It's almost like a once a year checkup.
Yeah. Come on, man.
To find out what's going on.
What's going on?
You. What's going on? What's really going on?
Wow.
God, you are the chief physician. What's really going on in my life?
Yes.
What's really going on? Like, I know what I said I was doing this for, but what's my real intention? What's the real ambition in my heart that you have to really dig in and dig out
yes.
and root out so that I can go on going into 2019, a better me, a more anointed me, a more dedicated me, a more powerful me.
That's right.
I'm like, what's in me right now that needs to be detoxed out of me?
Out of
that
me.
That you get all the glory out of me.
All the glory. And Lord, I'm not getting up. I'm not going to leave. Whether I'm there the whole 12 hours or not, I'm not going to leave until I get what I need. I'm going to stay there and I'm going to fight. And listen, some of it, we're going to be tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a press. This is not something that's just going to be easy. It's not going to be something that's just going to be a walk in the park. But we're going there to war. We're going there to fight against what the flesh wants. We're going to fight against those things in us that are anti-God, that wants to go against the will of God. Those things we are, Lord, strip me, break me down, and rebuild me for this next dispensation, God, that is about to overtake this land. These things that are over, look at our government, all these different things that are happening in this world right now. Lord, fix me up and allow my light to shine like never before, that I can truly be an ambassador for you, and I can truly stand
right
and represent you the right way, the real way, and that I don't use any more excuses.
There you go.
Rid me of the fear.
Excuses of why I haven't done what you called me to do.
Yes.
Excuses of why I haven't committed myself to the things I said I'll commit myself to. Excuses of why I'm going to sit here like and not obey.
That's right.
Delay obedience is disobedience.
It's still disobedience. So, Lord, that's why I said we need God to bring us into his real timing. Lord, forgive us for walking out of your will.
Right.
But bring us back into your will, into the right detailed timing. Because God is a detailed God, and he wants things done in detail. So, Lord, detail us. Fix us up.
Right.
Clean us up.
Right.
Lord, in your word, it said one time we was bloody, laid on the street, polluted in our own blood. But you came through.
Yep.
Cleaned us up.
Your parents didn't want you. I was in the world. Like you,
come on, man.
Your parents didn't want you. You're saying Jeremiah.
Yeah.
You were that still had an umbilical cord attached to you,
man.
Still looking for a connection that was no longer there.
No longer there. Expecting to be fed
something. You were there. I walked by you and I said,
live. Oh, man. I'm gonna tell you this purge.
Yeah.
This right here, you know, someone's been dealing with suicidal thoughts. You know, someone, I'm telling their mind is messed up. Tell them to get purged. Them to purge.
Right.
The moment right now, you may not be to the top spirit. Someone you may need to carry here.
Right.
You need to pick them up and carry them here and show them where Jesus is.
Yeah.
This is what that purge is going to be. It's going to be so powerful. Because we walk away from God, you know, because of our families and what they believe and what we need, different things. So you walked away, you detoured, but God is calling you. And come, embrace this that I have for you. Love me more than anything, and I guarantee your life will be better than it has ever been before and will ever be. Thank God for all of you just tuning in tonight. We just wanted to talk about what's taking place. Purge. It's important. I thank Pastor for going on this to be the third year on that one. You know what I'm saying? And within three years, so much has taken place.
Yeah.
So many different battles that took place. Things that will probably want to keep us from wanting this and stay. But thank God that we still have a mind.
The grace and the anointing to continue to form.
Come on, man.
Not going to deliver based on you and many of you. Like this is going to be the best year yet.
I believe. believe so.
Because the hell that
man,
the storm that we're in right now,
what
is releasing a level of that's going to be to those who are going to be there.
I believe
the best time, the best and most dangerous line that had no choice. And I'm surviving because I'm really prepared.
Wow.
I'm ready to know that God has destined and to be. So come praying, come believing, come expecting. God's going to give us fine.
Yo, it's going to be age time. Don't forget Friday. Deliverance Cathedral, 50th Town, Jersey. It is going to be at time from 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. in the morning. I thank God for the people who stayed last year. So in the morning, it was amazing. Into that late hours, man.
Yeah.
And for telling you, it's a press. God does something. I'm praying that even one will come in that I mentioned that this week, the time that you really have to turn your plan to prepare yourselves to serve to this God, virgin.
Be a conduit of deliverance.
Yes, a conduit of deliverance.
People who get delivered from what delivers to you.
Awesome, man. I truly believe that. Before we go here, 111 Watch, you can call in right now at 657-383-1471. 657-383-1471. This church will call in 657-383-1471. Leave this open for a minute. Hopefully, you'll call in. If not, it's all good. But we want to hear somebody call in. If you're still watching, you can call right now. We want to hear your voice. I know you're typing right now, but call in 657-383-1471. 657-383-1471. Call in. Just say a few words or something. Hello. It'll definitely be a blessing just to hear your voice. Because this thing is going to be something, man. This is Sunday night here. Dirty Church Radio presents Unrestricted Conversations.
Right.
And this is a place where no where topic is out of bounds. We talk about everything. Whatever it is, we talk about God, the foundation of everything we do. I'm trying to present him the best that we can. But also look at Dirty Church as, do you remember young boys, I think, I don't know if it was from China, where they got trapped.
Yeah.
Divers had to go in a process to get them out. And it was a very difficult task. They went deep to go tight places to get them oxygen, bring through, and I believe one lost his life saving men, but they saved all of them. Dirty Church, one of the assignments is to go into the uncharted world, talk and say some things that some may use this for a platform and just a on their mind because they may not be given an opportunity to say it. And sometimes your biggest delusion can come from you just out because you hold it much anger. But on here, we believe that soil, dirt that can grow people's hearts and minds into a better place, into a better development of continue to pray for you. Continue to pray for us. Don't forget, church, October 26th, coming Friday. Please 15 Keswick Avenue, Uintown, Jersey. I'll be going live every night, every week, on Facebook, Dirty Church Radio, about something and talk about the purge. So leading up to the purge, and I'm going to try even a part of the purge where a part of it will be live on the radio also while we're there. I'm trying to set that up too. But God is good, and he's mighty and powerful. And we're looking forward to this week. We believe it's going to be a blessed time, a powerful time. I'm looking forward to the word that God has from these mighty men and women of God to come through and ignite the flame, ignite the flames of revival. So until Friday at the Purge, this is Elder J. Miller, Pastor Sherman Boone. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless. And y'all, better get home and handle that business, Bob.
Man,
oh, that's right.
Okay.